And it sucks that we gotta start today's episode off with this, but I want to take a moment of silence for one of my favorite rappers and producers, highly inspirational to my youth and to who I am. Metal Fingers, MF Doom. Rest in peace, man. We'll be playing his beats throughout the whole episode just to pay homage to a legend in every sense of the word.
We ain't talking about the game. We're talking about practice, man.
Man, this is for you.
Oh. What can I say? Mamba out.
Ooh. It's the first episode of the new year. Still ain't got my old studio back. But enough of that. Let's just be thankful for what we have now. We got through 2020. We had our first week of the regular season. And I don't really like to play in too much to what happens in the first week because a lot of it's just, it's such a small sample size that should we take any of it seriously at all? Like, let's say a team that we're like, yo, they're going to go to the finals. They start out 1-3 or something like that. Would it really be time to hit the panic button? On ESPN, yeah, sure, because they got to get out content every day. Right now, obviously, I don't do that. I, in fact, don't do anything until basketball starts back up. So I move at my own pace. I make my own moves, own decisions. And I chose not to write hardly any notes for the first week. We'll probably get some more now that it's week two. And, things are becoming slightly more concrete, especially more than they were 7 days ago. But the main thing that I want to talk about, because we're, in my opinion, we're light on content this week. This will probably be a short episode. It was LeBron James' birthday 2 days ago. I believe he's turning 36, meaning he came in at 18 and he's played 18 seasons now. He spent half of his life a millionaire and even more than half of his life being one of the most popular figures in America. Now, one of the most popular people in the world. So that's gotta be a crazy life. But I just wanted to go through and this whole episode is off top of the dome. And like I said, no notes. I don't really need notes when it comes to talking about LeBron. Look, I may not like that he's a Laker. I'm not a fan of that whatsoever. If you put on the purple and yellow, I'm not saying purple and gold because you're not that royal in my opinion, unless you're the king, of course. You put on the purple and yellow, I just don't really care about what you're doing too much because fuck them. I just don't like the Lakers. But this is LeBron James. He's my Michael Jordan. I was born 94. MJ wasn't playing. He was taking his baseball sabbatical. So my first memory of basketball actually is Jordan. Like, I remember my dad, we were watching TV, and I had to be like super, I don't know what age, but I was super tiny. So I remember I wasn't even bigger than the chair in the living room. So I was bigger than none of the furniture. But I remember him pointing my hand. He's just like, see him? And I'm like tracing it. He's like, just pay attention to him. And I remember him saying Michael Jordan. I didn't know. But I followed him, and I just remember seeing, I remember how fluid he moved. And then I saw Space Jam. And I was like, really my first memories of basketball. I thought that was awesome. And now LeBron's doing Space Jam. So hopefully some kid is like, some guy has his son tracing what LeBron's doing in LA. And he's like, just follow him. And then, Space Jam will come out this summer on whatever platform, maybe HBO Max, who knows. And yeah, he'll get his first couple of basketball memories. But I just like how things come full circle like that, and history repeats. But yeah, LeBron was the first player that, he wasn't the first player that I liked. I believe Jason Kidd was. It was weird because, you know, I'm a Sixers fan, but J. Kidd was my first favorite player. I loved how he moved the ball. And LeBron was the first superstar that I saw come in that I knew that came out of high school. You know, you had KG and all that. I became a fan of him as well, but I saw his career before, I guess you could say, it really even started. We all saw it. Televising, you know, high school basketball games on ESPN, and not like ESPN 26 or whatever. I believe it was like ESPN 2 or 1. Like, what? That's crazy that a kid had to deal with all of that. And he had these crazy expectations, and he's met them, and he has surpassed them. There's never been an athlete like that. In basketball, I can think of football. That's really all I watch. But maybe in soccer, there's been a guy who's like, yeah, we knew when he was like a teenager, he's going to be really good. And it's before people even followed teenagers like that. But, you know, everybody came to the games. People were buying his jerseys. Somebody gave his mom a Hummer, and it became the biggest story in the world. And then we are like, oh man, it's $100 million from Nike. What? That's crazy. He's can't even legally drink yet. He just got his driver's license a year ago. What? And then he surpassed everything. I don't know of another person who's done that in any sport. Maybe Tiger Woods. But then even Tiger Woods hit a wall. Well, he didn't hit a wall. I think he hit like a light post with his Cadillac. And that was like his Truman Show boat hit the wall. Where it's just like, all right, now here comes reality. And he slowly got the pieces together. And, you know, he's won a Masters since, but it took a very long time. LeBron never had to deal with any of that. Let's just go through the career. You know, before he's even in Cleveland, people on the Cavaliers, I want to say Darius Miles said this. I'm not too sure who said. No, wasn't Darius. Ricky Davis, I think. He said, yeah, if LeBron wants to, you know, come to the crew, great. We'll have him on. He'll just be basically saying, you know, he'll just be another member of the team. Really? Ricky Davis? I mean, Ricky Davis is a valuable sixth man, but a bit of a head case, and you could tell by him saying that. LeBron didn't show up to the league or wasn't going to the league to just be one of the guys on the Cavaliers. He was going to be the chosen one. That's what we pegged him as. Is that not what the Sports Illustrated cover said? The chosen one? He was. And it just doesn't make sense that the chosen one would, you know, play second fiddle to anybody on a terrible team. I knew, and this is weird, I thought LeBron was going to be great because I remember how dookie the Cavs jerseys looked before they drafted him. Didn't they change the jerseys as soon as he became, like, they had new jerseys as soon as he got on the Cavs? They got the wine and gold. They ditched those black ones with the nets that, you know, had coming out of the net for some reason. Or was that milk? I don't know what it was. I guess it was supposed to be a splash, like our shot is wet. It just looked like cum. It was weird. Look those jerseys up, like 2001 Cavs jerseys. Terrible, terrible. Then you get this wine and gold. I'm like, okay, these are cool. In fact, I had the wine and gold LeBron jersey. But yeah, I remember the debate. Everybody was saying, you know, maybe Carmelo should go number one because he won the NCAA championship. That, what does that matter to me? What does that matter? No, I'm going for the, who has the highest ceiling and who has the most talent now. He had both. And every now and then you get a guy like that. It's like, all right, who has the most upside? Well, it's this guy. All right, so then who has the most talent? Well, it's also this guy. All right, then fuck it. What are we having this meeting for? This is the guy. We're taking him. If it doesn't work out, we fucked him up or he got a drug addiction. It's got to be one of the two. LeBron could have been royally screwed by the Cavs, but no. I mean, he sort of was, but they sort of fucked his career up a little bit. But he fixed it. We'll get on that later. And yeah, he never had no drug problem, so he's going to be fine. He gets to the league. I believe first game was against the Kings. He put up 20-plus points in that one. Handful of rebounds, handful of assists. Yeah, he's here. He can already be a starter that you're comfortable with. One game in and you know, you're like, okay, yeah, I can trust this guy with starters minutes. Let's rock. And what kills me is, I honestly think Carmelo had a better rookie year. I really think he did. So yeah, Carmelo's rookie of the year in my opinion. But that hardly matters. I mean, Andrew Wiggins won Rookie of the Year, and yeah, well, we won't mention him again. Oh, well, later down the line. He's just on these dog shit Cavaliers teams, just terrible. You got Ilgauskas, Drew Gooden. So you have your four and your five. They're nothing really crazy. A lot of people don't know Ilgauskas made an All-Star team, so. Give him his respects. But Drew Gooden is what it is. You got DeJuan Wagner over there, who I think he dropped 100 points in a high school basketball game. And yeah, it looked like he was next up as well. No. That didn't work out. But yeah, you just have these players around him, but he's just carrying them as far as he can. And it was very impressive to watch. Like I said, it was so impressive that I got the, you know, LeBron wine and gold Cavs jersey. Hey, just to back things up, does anybody remember that Nike commercial where they're all in the church and Bernie Mac is like, RIP to him as well. Bernie Mac is the pastor and he's like giving his sermon. And then LeBron James comes in as the chosen one with the basketball and he passes it to Bernie Mac and he faints and everybody's just throwing oops to each other, dunking in church. Yo, bring back those type of commercials. Those are fire. Like, these new ones are too serious and trying to be cool. This is cool and goofy, and that's what I always aspire to be. So I loved it. I think that's what I became a LeBron fan, that commercial. Advertising, guys, it really works. But yeah, no, he's carrying these terrible teams. He becomes an Olympian. They get the bronze medal because there's just no unity. Larry Brown is just put out this weird rotation. It's just nothing really works. And his team just disappoints. I believe the girls win gold. The guys get bronze. And everybody's just like, people put the blame on him, sort of. I'm hearing his name mentioned. I was like, bro, he's been in the league a year, 2 years? What? Stop it. This isn't really on him or Melo. But the redeemed team comes in 4 years. But before that, we get LeBron to the finals, 07. I got my witness poster in my room. I have a witness poster on my door. What? How old am I? I'm 13 when this happens. This is probably the last time I cried over sports, because he just gets swept by a team that I hate. He gets swept by the Spurs, 4-0, and I'm miserable. It's just, it really sucked because I could see what the problem was. And if I could see it at 13, he knew it, and obviously the Spurs game plan worked. They knew what they needed to do. What they needed to do was force him to take threes. And he would take them. And he just wasn't shooting a good clip. I don't remember his stats, but I want to say maybe 30% from three. Maybe 28. Like, it wasn't hot. And he just kept taking these shots. Because who the fuck else is going to shoot? Pavličić? Or whatever. There's nobody on his team. You got Mo Williams. And that's, like, it. Eric Snow is out there for some reason for defense. That didn't work against Tony Parker. It was just really bad. It was just a really bad team. And they start to add things around him. But first... who did they add? They added Larry Hughes and Antoine Jameson, I believe. That wasn't enough. You know, you had Daniel Gibson, who was a sniper. You had Mo Williams, who was, you know, a very good sixth man. I think maybe he made the All-Star team one year as well. He was just a very good complimentary piece. But, you know, when I was a kid, I thought he was like a top 20 player in the league. No. It was the LeBron effect. He just makes everybody around him better. But, yeah. You know, some more failure in the playoffs because Celtics. But you get the redeem team. And this is when I really think, you know. Oh, I skipped like a huge part. How did I skip this? This is the night when he was crowned king. How did I skip this? Matter of fact, I even wrote a little piece about this. Let me check it on my Facebook. I definitely wrote something about this. There we go. Finally found it. Jesus. This is what I wrote about the moment LeBron became the man. This is game 5 of the Eastern Conference Finals against Detroit. And he scored the last 25 points in the game to win it. And I said, for me, this is when he became the best player in the world. And you could argue other players had the crown after this. Kobe, Stephen Curry, Giannis, Jeremy Lin. Just joking. But I never had doubt. Just win 2 more rings and become the NBA's all-time leading scorer and own a successful franchise and coach said team to a championship and have a successful son in the NBA and have your own sneaker brand, then maybe I won't have to argue if you're better than Jordan. I still have no doubt. I don't have a doubt. Watching this man eviscerate the Pistons. Because that's what it was. Even Chauncey Billups talked about it like years back. And he was just like, I was just happy that I was a part of a moment like that. And he can say that because he won that, you know, he ended up winning a championship before that. So, like, he feels fine that that didn't work out. But here's the thing. We always had this doubt with LeBron that he just didn't have the venom. That he just didn't have that, you know, asshole. I'm gonna edit that out. That was terrible. That sounded so bad and gay. He didn't have that asshole streak that Jordan and Kobe have. Where they're just complete dicks to, you know, guys on the other end and people on his team. And it just didn't matter. If you weren't about winning, get the fuck out the way. LeBron was surrounded by a lot of losers. And he made them winners. But at a certain point, it was just, they are who they are. You can make them something else, but you can't turn them into champions. You have to have that type of pedigree. And those players just didn't have that on those Cavs teams. But he said, fuck turning everybody else into something. I'm going to be the man. And that was one of the few times that he's done that. Where he's just like, get out the way. I'm winning this game. I'm taking over. We'll game plan for the next one. But right now, the plan is me. And that... that's what everybody wanted. And then when we got it, everybody was like, oh shit, this kid. He doesn't have next, he has now. And, you know, things don't work out in the finals. Okay. He gets put together for the Redeem team. And I don't remember all the games from that Olympic basketball tournament, but I do remember the final game, USA versus Spain, and I get to see who became one of my favorite players, Ricky Rubio, La Pistola out there. You got the Gasols, you got Rudy Fernandez, who was putting up buckets. It was really weird. Because Kobe definitely closed that game out for us. But before that, a lot of it was going through LeBron. And that was further confirmation for me that there was a changing of the guard going on. You know, you hear about the, you know, Dream Team. And Jordan walks into the locker and it's Larry Bird and Magic Johnson. And he's just like, I hope you know there's a new sheriff in town. And they both look at each other like, I think he's right. It was sort of like that. Because even though Kobe did close it out, and he did a hell of a job doing that, as far as, you know, defense is concerned and scoring, just multifaceted out there. LeBron was really the catalyst for the team those first three quarters. And that was the changing of the guard. And what's funny about that is the Cavs were so shitty. The Cavs were so shitty that they go on to lose to the Magic in the Eastern Conference Finals. And we were so ready for Kobe and LeBron to finally be a thing in the finals. And we didn't get it. Because the Cavs were just dog shit. And you can't say it's LeBron. It's only been LeBron's fault one time in the playoffs, I'll say. And people be like, oh, that's impossible. It's like, when was it ever really Jordan's fault? I can name a time when it was, you know, looking like it was Kobe's fault, but then it worked out. But we're not here to, you know, discredit any of those guys. We're here to celebrate LeBron. And I got to put those Wine and Gold Cavaliers teams down. They were just not good. Robbed us of a finals I think everybody would have, you know, loved to see. But, you know, maybe the Cavs would have lost to the Lakers. I think they would have. And that would have been a huge hit to his legacy. People would have loved talking about, yeah, he's 0-1 against Kobe. Shoulda, coulda, woulda. He finally has had enough. He gets eliminated by Boston in 2010. And he has this, you know, Peter Parker moment. I remember Sports Illustrated ran these covers for the 2010-2011 season, which was really like, you know, previews for all the teams, but they were Marvel comic books. They were plays on that. And they used like some of the old ones as references and put new players in it. It was really neat. Because obviously we get this huge moment where we're all gathered around the TV watching ESPN, wondering for the first time, where's the best player in the league going? And I remember sitting on my couch. It's hot as hell. It looks hot in the gym where LeBron is, and you know, there's a bunch of kids there. I guess they're part of some foundation. Kanye West is there. And you got two chairs sitting down interviewing. And then they ask him, you know, the famous question.
Beach and join the Miami Heat.
And those became, that became like the most famous and noteworthy quotable exchange in basketball history. You just see the parallels between him and Jordan, and I hate to keep doing this, but I have to, because one is 1A and one is 1B, as far as I'm concerned. When Jordan made his return it was just a note that said, I'm back. And he went back to the Bulls, and things didn't work out in the playoffs. But now that I have 3 rings later, he's the GOAT. LeBron had to get the fuck out of Cleveland. He had to. You know, there was talks of trades that they had that could potentially have went down. And I'm not so sure they made the right idea with not making those moves. They could have acquired Amari Stoudemire from the Suns. He ended up becoming a $100 million man in New York. But I really think he would have fit in well. That pick and roll game with, you know, pick and roll was nice with him and Steve Nash, but LeBron is one of the smartest basketball players out there. And I think a pick and roll with him and Amari would have been fantastic. I just don't know. I think it would have worked a lot better than having, you know, defeated old man Shaq out there. But Shaq wasn't terrible. He was just old. But him and Amari together, oh, yeah. I think that would have been nice. But it didn't happen. So he goes to Miami. And we get this awesome, just fire Sports Illustrated where he's Peter Parker. And it's the comic where Peter Parker throws away his Spider-Man outfit, well, his costume, whatever, and it's in the trash and he's walking away in the rain from it. He doesn't want to be Spider-Man anymore. But for LeBron, he's got his Cleveland jersey in the trash and he's walking away and he's got his Heat jersey on. And I thought that was so fire. If I ever just have random money sitting around, I'll get that blown up and put up somewhere. That was one of the biggest moments in sports history as far as I've been alive. And you know, he drops this commercial where he's talking about what he thinks the future of his career is going to be, where he's just like, what if it, well, not what he thinks, but just all the questions that he has, like, what if this doesn't work out? And you know, he's sitting there at the retirement and somebody's sweeping up trash and he's like, yeah. And maybe he'll retire no rings. Maybe he just doesn't know. And I don't think that was just like a commercial that, you know, his PR was like, yeah, do that. This is going to be great. Or they was pitching him and he was just like, yeah, fuck it, I'll do it. I think it really resonated with him. And he was like, yeah, I don't know if this is going to work out. But you get the huge block party. LeBron, Bosh, Wade. The famous, not one, not two, not three, not four. You get that. And now the target is, if it wasn't already on their back, it was definitely on, just on the forehead. People were going for the kill. I remember watching the first game of that Heat team. And they go in and lose to the Celtics. And everybody's like, oh, this team's no good. I'm like, it's the first week of basketball. You see why I'm not covering this, what happened in the first week of basketball this season? Why there's no notes for that? Because people just overreact. Shit, the Lakers lost on a ring ceremony a week ago. Okay, it doesn't matter. Work out the kinks. And that's what LeBron-led teams do. They get better as the season goes on. Or if they don't get better, he'll get better. More on that later. Best part about that Heat team was we'll never see a duo like Dwayne Wade and LeBron. They made basketball look effortless. And honestly, you know, you'll get these duos that, you know, they work together, they win a lot of games, but they just don't have the synergy that Dwayne Wade and LeBron have, because those are their best friends. That's so odd that they're best friends. No history of beef whatsoever. Nothing real. You know, friendly competition, yeah, but no beef. And you have two supreme talents. Two generational talents. Dwayne Wade is probably the third best. No, he is. He's the third best shooting guard of all time. And LeBron is the second best basketball player of all time. Third, if you want to put Kareem in front of him, and I can understand why you would do that. I'm just being a futurist when I say he's the second best. And in the back of my mind, I think he's the best. But you'll never have that type of duo ever again. You just won't. And then they go to the finals. To this team that I didn't really want much of a part of. Because the Mavericks beat the Lakers, the defending champions. They beat the Lakers in what, the first or second round? Second round, I believe. This team is tough. And they completely frustrated the Lakers. So I know there's teams like that you just don't want to see. And that's who they had to play. And you get some shit talking from LeBron and Dwayne Wade because they act like they got this wrapped up. You know, Dirk said he had a cold or whatever. So LeBron and Dirk mock him by walking into the arena coughing, being childish. But, you know, I was a child, so I thought it was funny. Now I would just be like, you're being jackasses. This might come back to bite you. You should probably not do this. And lo and behold, LeBron just puts up these shitty numbers in that 2011 finals. Numbers that are unforgivable. What did he average, 17 or 19 points per game? When the fuck is that ever okay? Even when, and I'm using Jordan again, even when Jordan was being guarded very well by Gary Payton, once they finally made that switch, which is a fucking no-brainer, put Gary Payton on Jordan. Who else are you putting on him? Hershey Hawkins? Like, no, this is stupid. Put Gary Payton on him. And he did that, and he at, I almost said LeBron, Jordan averaged the lowest amount he ever has in the finals. Almost makes you think what would have happened if they just had Gary Payton on him from the rip. Still think the Bulls win that. Anyway, LeBron averages like 17, 19 points in the finals. You got Deshaun Stevenson, who they have beef from like his old Cleveland days, where like even LeBron's friend Jay-Z gets involved in the beef and there's disses thrown. It just doesn't... Why is Deshaun Stevenson getting the best view? Why do I have to watch fucking Jason Terry do the jet down the court? Oh my God, Dirk Nowitzki with the rainbow. That's when I knew that the Heat were going to lose. But I couldn't not watch. It's the finals. It's LeBron. I'm gonna watch. Duh. But I knew right then and there with that rainbow shot that he hit, and I want to say it was game 5 or game 4, down the stretch in the fourth, he hits this just beautiful, the rotation looks like it's computer animated, and it's just perfect. We didn't have the little splash green light release in 2K back then, but that was the first time I saw it. I saw it before it was in the game. It was that shot. And I just knew it was over. So yeah, they go on to lose. Jason Kidd gets his ring. I'm very happy about that because the young boy in me is still a Jason Kidd fan, even though he's done some shitty things off the court. What does that have to do with basketball? Nothing. So as a player, I still respect him. And then he did the bump into me thing when he was a coach of Brooklyn. But that has nothing to do with anything. So LeBron goes to work. He goes and trains with Hakeem Olajuwon. And he adds a post game to his arsenal. And I've said this 2 times on the show before. I'm just going to mention it real quick. You know who should really get a post game? They're already unstoppable, but if they want to be unfair, James Harden. Get like a, refine your post game. Stop with the handles. You're already supreme at it. Work on that post game, bro. Good God. You're already unfair. You'd be a god. Anyway, LeBron works with Hakeem Olajuwon, gets his post game together. He has this new attitude where it's he doesn't want to be the bad guy anymore. Because that's who they were the year before. They were the everybody in Miami Heat, they're the bad guys. You had that block party, you have the target on your head, and you're just demolishing the league, and you're mocking Dirk Nowitzki. You're the bad guys now. It's like he traded in his Spidey suit for the Venom suit, but it just doesn't work for you. You're not the villain. Why? You know, when people hated LeBron before Miami, it didn't make sense, but it made sense to hate him when he went there. You know, you can look at what he did as a sucker move, and you know, some people are following his footsteps and actually be suckers, in my opinion, but going to Miami, yes, forming a super team of that degree, everybody thought they'd be unbeatable, but, you know, I forgot how this quote goes, but you can destroy a civilization from the outside and it'll build itself back up. A civilization that falls from the inside is gone forever. And that's what I thought was happening with the Miami Heat. They crumbled from the inside. I'm like, this doesn't work. We got to scrap it. Which was ridiculous for me to think at the time. And I'd probably still think the same now. I'm always gung-ho about teams, you know, shutting it down, scrapping it, and starting over. I love a rebuild. Hence my whole process documentary. Go listen to that if you haven't. But LeBron says, no, I'm going to work on myself. So he does that. He doesn't want to be hated anymore. He just wants to play basketball and win. And everybody loves a winner. So that's what he's going to go do. And he does. He goes to, you know, play the Thunder in the finals, who were, you know, looking like they had next up or right now. It depends on how that matchup went. 4-1 Heat. Key moment in that, LeBron gets cramps and he can hardly move. The game's on the line. He can put it away with a three to give him the dagger. And James Harden's guarding him, and James Harden's scared to step up. LeBron can't move. Why aren't you getting up to guard him? He just doesn't do it. It's one of the biggest brain farts in basketball history that I've ever seen. More on those in a minute. Looking at you, JR. But yeah, they go on to win the title, and LeBron finally wins it, and he has this to say.
It's about damn time.
And yeah, it was about fucking time. Wins finals MVP, something Stephen Curry doesn't know anything about. And he's finally a champion. And can we just talk about the memes compared to, you know, losing to the Mavs and to finally winning his first title? When he lost to the Mavs, I remember seeing that Dirk Nowitzki meme where he's like Frodo and he's holding the ring and LeBron is Smirk. I don't even know, that little ghoulish looking thing, and he morphed his face into him and is Lord of the Rings. I'm like, come on, still funny, but man, it hurt to see him lose like that. To see him win, it was fantastic, because there was this kid in my high school. He was an even bigger LeBron fan than me. I wouldn't even say he was a bigger fan, maybe, but he was a lot more vocal about it, to the point he was annoying. Like, the, you know, when people say they hate LeBron because they hate his fans, he's one of those fans that make people hate LeBron, and I don't blame them. He was really annoying, but I still like LeBron. He looked like his mother died when LeBron lost to the Mavs. Because there was nothing to say. It was LeBron's fault in everything. It just looked so bad. I felt bad for him. I felt bad that LeBron lost. I felt bad for myself because I'm like, bro, I just want to see somebody I like win. And, you know, I just felt even worse for this kid. But to see his face after game one against the Thunder, it was the same thing all over again. And I was praying to God. I was like, please don't let LeBron lose. I think this kid might kill himself. It was ridiculous. I felt so bad. It was like his dad died after, you know, the Thunder beat the Heat in game one. And then they, you know, got gentlemen swept. But yeah. Just to see him happy, I was like, good. I'm so happy this kid's not going to kill himself because LeBron lost again. Can't remember his name. I want to say Travis. It doesn't matter. But yeah, he wins that. I didn't sleep that whole night. I couldn't go to sleep. I remember being on the NBAShop.com. I wanted the hat so much. I tried to convince my mom she wouldn't get it for me. But she gave me lunch money and I didn't save it. I should have did that. Yeah. So, now it's time to, you know, win more. Because that's what the memes were saying. It's like, okay, you got one ring. The year before, it was like, I tried to call LeBron, but there was no ring. Now it's, I called LeBron, but it only rung once. And I'm like, yo, this man can't win for nothing. Even when he wins, he's a loser, y'all. It doesn't make sense. And I've never seen that in an athlete other than Tom Brady. It's crazy. Like, you want this person to fail so much, but they're so good. Like, annoyingly good. So I guess that's why. But yeah, now you gotta win it again, though. They're not wrong. But there was a little trouble there. There's a little trouble. Now you gotta get there. And LeBron has this game that I love to refer to. This is, I believe, the Eastern Conference Finals, Game 6. Game 6. In the Garden against the Boston Celtics. Heat are down 3-2. And LeBron has to, he can't lose this. You didn't come to Miami to continue losing to Boston. You should never lose to them again. You beat them before, you have to keep beating them. If you ever lose to them, this was sort of all for nothing. I don't care if you got the ring. You've regressed back to losing to Boston? No. And, you know, he's done his Zero Dark 23 or whatever you want to call it, where he doesn't use social media. He hardly watches any TV. He instituted that, you know, the year before to win his first ring. So he's doing it again. But you don't need the media. You can feel it. You can feel what everybody's thinking. It's a whole room. It's a whole building full of people who have come to watch you fail. You know what they're thinking. You know what the people at home watching are thinking. Everybody wants to see you lose. Only your devoted fans are riding with you right now. And I wrote a whole article about it, of what, you know, the Miami Heat had to do to win that game. Matter of fact, I even wrote something about this game on his birthday. Yes, I wrote more stuff. This is about when LeBron James scored 45 points versus the Celtics in the 2012 NBA Playoffs Eastern Conference Finals game sets. I wrote, okay, maybe it was this game. Remember this one? I call this Phantom Bron. He doesn't do this often. It's like when Trunks went Super Saiyan 2.
Bron may have that power, but it doesn't matter. He doesn't thirst for battle and mayhem. He's not a fighter like you. Huh?
There's always that talk about Bron, you know, saying he just lacks that killer instinct. He doesn't. He just doesn't like to tap into it. The few times he has, you will lose. You just will. I wrote a whole piece before this game on my old blog in high school of what the Heat needed to do. It was irrelevant. Bron did it all. He did. He just came out and eviscerated these people. I remember him missing his first shot. It might have been the first shot of the game for either team. And you could just hear Boston fans just like, ha ha. And that was it. I don't remember him missing again. He had to, but I don't remember. I don't remember there ever being a shot that he took where I was like, I don't know about that. After he missed that first shot, I seen the look on his face. I was like, oh, shit. This is Super Saiyan 2 LeBron. Get the popcorn ready. He cooked them niggas. It was ridiculous. And ever since that game, he has just owned Boston. They get their hopes up. More on that later. They get their hopes up, but he just always comes through. So they go to the finals again. And guess who he's meeting? His old buddy Tim Duncan. Timmy D, the man who swept him. The man who has made me upset many times in my young life. And I remember thinking, I don't know, guys. I just don't know about that matchup. I still don't know how he did it, but we all remember the famous moment. Game 6 of the finals. I remember being just a teenager watching that, glued to the screen with my laptop there too, so I could post during everything. And the Heat just start deflating. And I post, I'm like, well, this is it. I guess that's LeBron's legacy. Can't beat the Spurs. Who does beat the Spurs? Nobody. Nobody beats him in the finals. So I guess that's it. And then I think he gets hit or he dunks or he lays the ball up and his headband comes off. And I don't know why, but I thought at that moment, I was like, why does this feel like an ESPN 30 for 30 moment? And it was. He just kicks it into this different gear again. And he does this Thanos type thing before we even all cared about who Thanos was. He was like, fine, I'll do it myself. And he did, until he didn't have to anymore. He put that team on his back. And he puts up the last shot to put him ahead. Well, I believe to tie it up. And he misses. And before I even had a chance to feel any grief, Bosch gets the board because Tim Duncan's not in. Tim Duncan's not in the game down the stretch. And that's another big brain fart that I just don't understand. I don't know. Maybe the Spurs didn't have timeouts, but I need to get Tim Duncan back into this game if I'm Pop. But he's not in. Bosch is the tallest man on the court. He gets the board. Ray Allen in the corner.
Back out to Allen. His three-pointer. Bang!
Yeah.
Tie game with 5 seconds remaining.
I just remember watching the game beforehand. You know, they've shown players in the tunnels and all that. And Ray Allen's by himself. And I think he has this piece of tape on the wall. And he's shooting, a couple feet away, just right at it. Perfect, hitting it spot on every time. Not a little to the left, not a little too high, not a little too low. Perfectly on it. He knows the window he has to get the ball through for it to go in for his threes. He just knew. I've never seen that. I guess that's what people do, but he just didn't miss. I've never seen anybody not miss that. And he didn't miss that three. Thank God he did it. That was one of the best shots we've ever seen. Probably one of the biggest shots of all time. Maybe the biggest. Yeah. So they go on to win in Game 7. LeBron's very good in Game 7s. He wins that and back-to-back titles. And he does the little smug look as he holds his finals MVP and his finals trophy, and yeah, it's awesome. Can't believe somebody finally beat the Spurs. I watched that game 7. I was totally not old enough to be in a bar, but I was in a bar. They were like, as long as y'all buy food, it's fine. It's me and my homie Isaac. We're in the bar, we're watching the game, and it's just all these Spurs jerseys. Nobody fucking likes the Spurs. These are just people who don't like LeBron. So they're all watching the game. And I'm yelling shit. I'm just like, go, Bron. Shane Battier's hitting his threes. I'm like, Battier! I'm going crazy. And they're just quiet. They're pissed. But I knew they weren't real Spurs fans because when they lost, they didn't seem bummed. They were just like, LeBron won. He just didn't like LeBron. People went to those lengths back then, and they probably still do. Yeah, back-to-back titles. Can still make the case for him retiring with 5 rings. I always thought he would have 5. Still think he will. Maybe six. But Lightning doesn't strike twice. They end up playing the Spurs again. And Kawhi Leonard has his coming out party. Nothing to do about that. But it's over. His little Miami tenure is over. He heads back to Cleveland. He has his I'm coming home party. There's no other two superstars on the stage with him. This time it's just him and his family. They're back. He's a new man. He's a champion. He knows what it takes to be a winner. He has championship pedigree. Understanding all of this. Cavs were dog shit before he got there. They were dog shit after he left. But once he came back, he was like, no, we're not going to do this like we did before. I have proven if you put talent around me, we can win titles. Luckily, they already have Kyrie Irving, who blossomed into a star while LeBron was, you know, winning titles. Never been to the playoffs, but we all figured he was ready. We're going to need more. Going to need a third wheel. So they do a trade to my Minnesota Timberwolves and get a, you know, disgruntled Kevin Love out of there, who's also an all-star. And, you know, also an Olympian. The token white guy on the 2012 team. They trade Andrew Wiggins, ugh, never mention him again, for Kevin Love. And yeah, got your core three. Build a nice little team around that nucleus. And LeBron takes him as far as he can, which is to the finals. Where they play Stephen Curry and the up-and-coming Warriors, who have vaulted ahead of the Thunder. The Thunder had so many injuries that it just slowed them down. Warriors stayed healthy. And health played a big factor in these playoffs. See, Kevin Love got hurt in the Boston series. Boston always finds a way to fuck with LeBron. Kelly Olynyk pulls his pulls Kevin Love's arm out the socket. I remember writing a paper for one of my classes, and I saw it. I'm like, ooh. And I'm talking to my girl on the phone. She's like, did you just see that? I'm like, yeah. Yeah, I don't think he's okay. He never returned for the playoffs. That's okay. You have Kyrie. Hopefully he can score as much as Steph. And we're okay. There's nobody better than LeBron in this series, so should be fine. Warriors aren't as good as they, you know, were going to be yet. They're still young. But Kyrie goes down. Now it's just LeBron and Matthew Dellavedova. And people thought that was enough. I remember people saying Matthew Dellavedova is the Steph Curry stopper. And I think he was for like three quarters. And then he totally wasn't. It was just LeBron out there averaging a 40-point triple-double. But it wasn't enough. They lose to the Warriors. I don't think too much of it because I'm like, you know, if it was a healthy team, they would have won. I was obviously pissed at the moment. I always am when LeBron loses. But yeah, I just didn't like Steph Curry. I still don't like her. But I really, to this day, I feel like LeBron should have won Finals MVP. Why not? He averaged damn near a 40-point triple-double. They gave it to Andre fucking Iguodala. What did he average? Like, a triple single? What? They didn't even give it to Steph. Didn't even give it to her. Gave it to Iggy. It was bullshit. I remember seeing some guy with like a Finals Warriors jersey on. It was the Iggy one. And I just, you know, Iggy did a lot of foul shit when he left Philly. So I just wasn't a big fan of him. Talked a lot of shit. But yeah. I yelled some things at that guy that would get me canceled nowadays. I was young. But cool, we'll just run it back. Everybody healthy, it should be fine. And the Warriors win 73 games in the season. What the fuck? They set the record. Winningest team of all time. They almost lose to the Thunder in the finals. Down 3-1, they come back, beat KD and Westbrook, both healthy. I blame Westbrook. LeBron's on cruise control to the finals. They get there, run it back. Now this time, the Warriors are up 3-1. And it's just not looking good. LeBron says he's a little hurt. Or, you know, he just seems upset about how things were going. Just really agitated by, you know, Steph Curry and them. They play beautiful basketball, I understand. But then Klay makes a comment.
What happened? What Klay said?
Yeah, and what crosses the line?
No, I'm not. What did you say? Klay said?
Klay said, I guess he just got his feelings hurt.
And after that said...
Oh, my goodness.
LeBron plays the best three games of basketball I've ever seen in my life. He goes on, him and Kyrie just eviscerate the fucking Warriors in fantastic fashion. You know, Draymond gets suspended for game 6. Cool. He plays for game 7, and then we get one of the biggest moments ever. Now that's happened. Kyrie closes it out. And LeBron has ring number 3. He's halfway there. Halfway to Jordan. Everything was great. You know, at least to be a LeBron fan, everything was great. You know, what did they do? They stopped off in Vegas right after the comeback. I think it was J.R. Smith's idea. Probably the last great idea he had. More on him in a minute. And yeah. Everything's going well. And it's all looking like it's geared up for another run at another title. But KD had a decision to make. And... you know... It might be kind of rude for me to say he chose the coward's way out, you know, considering LeBron formed his own big three in Miami, but listen to how I just phrased that. Formed his own big three. They consisted of the third best shooting guard of all time and Chris Bosh. Not shitting on Chris Bosh, but, you know, it's Chris Bosh. I mean, he did it again in Cleveland. Going to where Kyrie was, showing him how to win and what it means to be a winner and what it takes. And Kevin Love was there, which, once again, huge Kevin Love fan. But these aren't exactly, you know, Hall of Famers that you think of right off the bat. It is what it is. Durant makes his decision. He doesn't stay in OKC, where he was up 3-1 against the Warriors, and he fell. Maybe he blames Westbrook. I do, but I blame them both. Westbrook a little more. He doesn't go to Washington. He doesn't go home. He doesn't play with John Wall, which I think would have been really good, considering what Bradley Beal became. Yeah. That would have been really nice. But he goes to the team that beat him. The team that he had a chance to beat. Goes to the Warriors. A team that won 73 games the year prior. Already won a championship and established themselves as a young and up-and-coming dynasty. And who were only one win away from winning a title the year before. He goes there. And this might surprise a lot of you if you don't know the tale, but that made the team unbeatable. Yeah, they were unbeatable. They were pretty damn hard to beat already without KD. Probably the second best scorer, or first, depending on who you want to ask. But definitely a top three scorer of the Rock all time. So, yeah. It's Cavs versus Warriors again. And the Cavs get dismantled. KD hits a pull-up three in LeBron's face. And that is when I knew that this wasn't going to happen. So the summer comes around again. Kyrie wants out. See, Kyrie never really wanted to play with LeBron. He didn't think they needed him before he got there, which is odd because it's like, sir, you never went to the playoffs before him. So what the fuck are you talking about? But he's the only guy to be a part of one of these LeBron-led championship teams. Maybe the best one. And he said, no, I don't like being here. Huge chip on his shoulder. Felt like he was being young-boyed. And he probably was because, you know, he's younger. And I don't know. It's just something up with Kyrie Irving. He's one of my least favorite players in the league. And this is when it really started. But he gets out. Says he wants to go to Minnesota. That doesn't happen. Really would have liked that. Maybe I wouldn't dislike him as much as I do now. Who knows? But they ship him to Boston. And that's the last we'll talk about him. Isaiah Thomas, Dwayne Wade, Derrick Rose, some other pieces. They're all now on the Cavs. And on paper, I still didn't like how it looked. But I guess to the novice fan, it seemed good. Now, a lot of those pieces got shipped out, and there really was nothing left on this Cavs team. You know, Kevin Love was still there, but yeah, it's Kevin Love. He's going to go to work, but he's also going to get hurt. LeBron does his thing, carries his team through one of the best playoff runs we've ever seen. It's really when, you know, I consider him to be Thanos. They go up against the Indiana Pacers. That series goes to 7. As soon as it goes to 7, I know that LeBron's going to win that game, and he does. Then they go to Toronto. LeBronto, as it would be known as. And it probably should have been before this series. He sweeps them. Hits a game-winning layup, put them away. He's just really got their number. They'll go on to do great things a year from now. But at this point, they get swept. Now they play the Celtics, a young up-and-coming team. It would have been great to see if Kyrie was actually there, but he was hurt. And his team played a lot better without Kyrie. I said we were done with Kyrie. I was wrong. He'll even pop up again after this. It goes to 7. And what happens when a series goes to 7 and LeBron's involved? He wins it. They were never in that game. Game 6 was phenomenal because, you know, the whole story thread is that LeBron's actually old as shit now because the best player on the Celtics at this point is Jason Tatum. And a picture surfaces of LeBron taking a picture with a very young Jason Tatum. Had to be 11. And yeah, we're like, Jesus Christ, this dude's really old. And Jason Tatum's playing one of his idols. This is awesome. I think Jason Tatum dunked on him in the series. People were like, oh, nobody said passing the torch, but they're like, oh, he's old. I'm like, no, he's not. And game 6, LeBron hits back-to-back threes on this guy to put it away and force game 7, which was basically the death sentence. So, yeah. But guess who they run into? You betcha. The Golden State Warriors. And yeah, they had him for a second. LeBron, I want to say he had about 50 points in game 1, you know, 50 point triple double, you know, the usual. And then it comes down to George Hill hitting a free throw to put him up by 1 and, you know, forcing defense to be what, you know, decides the outcome. But much to my dismay, J.R. Smith had this plan.
Hill misses. Rebound goes to the Cavs. J.R. Smith brings it back out. Throws it to Hill. Hill shot blocked. And we'll go to overtime. You get the feeling J.R. Smith thought they had the lead.
He didn't know the score.
I think exactly. That's a bad mistake by J.R. Smith.
So, yeah. That was pretty much the nail in the coffin right there. There was nothing that was going to keep LeBron in Cleveland. We sort of felt that way, you know, going into the series. But there was hope until J.R. Smith took that away. So, yeah, now it's... where is LeBron going to hoop? We got to figure it out again. It's that LeBron sweepstakes. Which franchise is going to go to the finals for the next 3 to 4 years? There are really only two candidates, and depending on who you ask, which is anybody but me, there was really just one. But in my opinion, it was my hometown 76ers looking to complete the process, now having two stars in Joel Embiid and, you know, Ben Simmons, who was very good friends and, you know, he was under the wing of LeBron. So we had that going for us. And that's about it. The other candidate, which is where he resides now, obviously, LA. Beautiful place to live, nice and warm. The fans aren't, well, they're not as bad as Philly fans. So, yeah, he made an easy choice. And he went out to LA. Hey, man, I don't blame him. I've always wanted to live on the West Coast, but I don't know anybody out there. I guess one day I'll just have to take that trip and stay there, but I can't blame him at all. Philly winters kind of suck. There's no winter in LA. You don't even need a jacket. It's all for show. Plus, you got movies you could do out there. I think that's around the time he started filming for Space Jam. Really trying to be Michael. Can't blame you for chasing the goat. Anyway, after my heart is ripped out and I can somewhat get over it. I never did. Hey, he's a Laker. I hate the Lakers. I can never be cool with somebody who's on the Lakers. I just can't. I still respect him and I always will. But until he takes that purple and yellow off, nah. But yeah, things start out a little rocky. There's no other star in LA, so everybody pretty much knows a lot of this young talent that they had, you know, Brandon Ingram, Lonzo Ball, Kyle Kuzma, I think they had Brandon Hart. They had young talent there, but they were definitely in risk of being moved because when has LeBron ever took a young player under his wing who hasn't proven anything? He tried that with Kyrie, who had proven himself, and look where that got him. Just disrespect. So, nip it in the bud, these guys knew that they were probably going to be moved. Now, that didn't stop him from trying to will that team to the playoffs, but for the first time in LeBron's career, he suffered an injury. One that would keep him, you know, put away for a minute. I believe he suffered it on Christmas Day. Serious groin injury. Yeah, Lakers didn't play well in his absence. Which, who's surprised? They were getting lottery picks before he got there. And this is relatively the same crew. They tried to put some, you know, shot creators around him, which doesn't make sense because you really don't need to be a shot creator with LeBron on your team unless you're elite at it. These guys weren't. So, things didn't work out. They let LeBron take a leave of absence. He could have came back from injury, but why bother? You're not making the playoffs in the West with a record that they had. And all the criticism is there. Everybody's forgetting about the playoff run that he had the year before. Maybe because this is the West, and they're like, yeah, you couldn't do that here. Well, we didn't get a chance to find out, because he actually acted his age for once. Old as shit. It's like an injury, sideline, so be it. No playoffs for the Lakers. Kawhi Leonard has his playoff run that makes us even forget more about what LeBron did the year prior. And I'm not shitting on him for that. It was fantastic. And as a Sixers fan, I really wish it didn't fucking happen. But that's neither here nor there. KD leaves the Warriors after, you know, much turmoil with Draymond Green. His burner accounts start going crazy. He's sidelined for the next, well, the following season because of a torn Achilles. It still hurts when I watch that. Klay Thompson tears his ACL. So the Warriors really are out of the picture for the next season. So it would seem. I still thought, you know, barring any injuries from anybody else, especially Steph Curry, they would have been fine, but that wasn't the case. What really matters is what the Lakers did. Magic Johnson stepped down in his famous little, you know, hallway interview.
I'm not gonna be here.
But AD steps in. Now LeBron has his budding star, in my opinion, the fifth best player in the NBA. Definitely a top 10 player, no matter how you slice it. Anthony Davis forced his way out of New Orleans, and we all knew he would. Left subliminal, but not really subliminal, posts on his Instagram saying, "That's all, folks." And when asked about it, he said it meant nothing. Don't be a pussy. Just tell him the truth that you wanted out. I don't know if he was really hurt in New Orleans, but he acted like he was mortally wounded and couldn't play. So him and LeBron both sat, got rested, knew what was on the horizon. Lakers trade all their young pieces, minus Kyle Kuzma. Hindsight's 2020. It should have been Brandon Ingram. Shouts out to my homie Seth Brown for being correct the whole time. It should have been Kuzma. But yeah, hey, it looked good for New Orleans. Got a lot of young pieces. Got the number one pick in the draft. Much to my dismay, as a Hawks fan as well. And they get Zion Williamson. Cool. You didn't win games with AD. You're not winning games now with Zion. So you didn't really miss much. But now there's a two-headed monster out in LA. And there's another one brewing with the Clippers. Yeah. Paul George and Kawhi Leonard. I mean, on paper, it's fantastic. Hey, they had guys like Patrick Beverley, Montrezl Harrell, they had a Morris twin on their team as well, which, you know, the Lakers would go on to get the other one later in the upcoming season. But everybody was ready for the Battle of LA, and most people were saying it would be a tough race, myself included. Turns out we were all wrong. It never got to that point. See, as deep as the Clippers were, and that led to some people favoring them, I was always on the fence about that. Yeah, they couldn't get far enough in the playoffs to see the Lakers. So we never got a Battle of LA in the bubble. And yeah, I mean, it would have been fantastic to see, but they fell apart being up 3-1 against the Nuggets. The Lakers, on the other hand, would drop one game against the Trailblazers, first game against them, make adjustments, and gentlemen sweep them. Then they would go on to play the Rockets, lose a game against them, make adjustments, and gentlemen sweep them. Hey. For some reason, the Nuggets just could not be handled when, you know, facing elimination. They did the same thing to the Clippers. They fell apart. Paul George and Kawhi Leonard played terrible. Paul George hits the side of the backboard. And all that shit that the Clippers were talking, because there was a lot of shit spoken from the mouth of Patrick Beverley and pretty much the rest of the team minus Kawhi. Yeah. Made Doc Rivers look really bad. Not his fault. So the Nuggets go and play the Lakers. Lakers win that. Lightning doesn't strike three times for the Nuggets. Then they go on to play this Miami Heat team that I was all about, because I don't know, on paper they just made a lot of sense. And, you know, paper doesn't win games. It's what you do on the court. They backed it up. The analytics made sense. And yeah, they played very good basketball. But Bam Adebayo goes down. Goran Dragic, who was their leading scorer in the playoffs, he goes down. They both come back later in the series and never really the same. Jimmy Butler does everything he can. He wills the Heat to two wins single-handedly. Maybe if they were a healthy squad, they could have won it. But it's LeBron and AD, two of the top five players in the league. LeBron, who is still the best player in the league as far as I'm concerned, and honestly, as far as everybody should be concerned. He wins his fourth ring. He's one away from winning five, which is what I always thought he would retire with. He's obviously two away from the GOAT. Will it even matter if he wins that 6-1, given his finals record? You know, assholes will say no. Hey, man, I think he took a very difficult road, and I think he should be rewarded. In my opinion, he's the GOAT. And yeah, we out. Happy birthday, Brian.
What should I do? Should I admit that I've made mistakes? Should I remind you that I've done this before?
Should I give you a history lesson?
What should I do? Should I tell you how much fun we had? So, this went well. Should I really believe I ruined my legacy? What should I do? What should I do? What should I do? Should I have my tattoo removed? Want to see my shiny new shoes? Should I just sell shoes? Shiny new shoes? Or should I tell you I am not a role model? Hi, Chuck. Seriously, what should I do? Should I tell you I'm a championship chaser? Get it for the money? Rings? Should I be who you want me to be? Should I accept my role as a villain? Maybe I should just disappear. Should I stop listening to my friends? They're my friends. Should I try acting?
He's got to deal with the heat, man. Be patient. After a while, the temperature drops and everything is free and easy.
Should I be writing this down?
Uh-huh.
Should I make you laugh?
Or should I read you a soulful poem? Shoot me with your words. You may cut me with your eyes. But still, like air, I'll rise.
Or should we just clear the decks and start over? Coming through here! What should I do? Should I be who you want me to be?